Our final speaker of this evening is Dr. Sam Williams. I've known Sam almost all my professional career for a number of different reasons, but she's born and bred in Edmonton, Alberta. She's a geriatrician on Vancouver Island since the year 2000 in the Department of Geriatric Medicine. Currently working as a geriatrician in Port Alberni, she's the chair of the Health Authority Medical Advisory Committee called HAMAC, and the chief of staff at West Coast General Hospital. And her special interests are in dementia, chronic pain, and mobility, and she loves to be active in kayaking and skiing. So her talk is Exercise Medicine for Aging Well.
Well, thank you very much for that very nice introduction, Al. And we should explain that comment about you knowing me for many years for various reasons. And I grew up in Edmonton, and my father was a general surgeon there. And Al was a resident of my dad's. And so I was in my late teens and early 20s and used to hear my father talking about this brilliant resident that he had. And he would come over to our house for journal club, and it was Dr. Hayashi. So certainly I'm very happy to be on the island now and to be able to call Dr. Hayashi a colleague. I must say what an honor it is to be here tonight. I was a bit weak in my knees to be that close to the Lafayette Quartet, who, you know, we hear about and is world famous. But what a tremendously exciting moment it was to be close to you, to watch you, to see the passion that you have when you are playing. Thank you very much for that. I can just make this a little bit higher. That's okay. I'll do it. There we go. That's it. Got it. I think it's it. And it's very fun to be number three after the first two talks. And so how tremendous both of them were. I know Stuart says that, you know, he's not saying that changing your walking speed is going to make a difference. But whenever I talk to him, I do note that I walk at a considerably greater speed after. And, you know, Stuart, you may notice that when I see you now, automatically my speed of gait increases. I think it is interesting that the speed of your gait at the age of 50 is one of the very strongest predictors of whether or not you will be frail at the age of 75. So it is something to take note of. You know, if you are feeling strong and well, your speed of gait is going to increase. But I guarantee you after tonight, you'll all be conscious of that. And, you know, Scott talking about our children and our grandchildren, are they smarter than we are? Well, I know when I'm around my nephews and nieces, some of them are, one is 3 years old. When she connected me up to the internet a couple of weeks ago, as I had, you know, yet again found myself hopelessly confused by my iPad, I came to the conclusion that yes, indeed. So what I want to talk to you a bit about tonight is a concept that you will hear more about. It's increasingly popular. It's exercise as medicine. We've all grown up hearing that exercise is good for you. I sometimes wonder, why did I go to medical school when I spend so much time just trying to get people to move, to eat well, and to sleep at night? And you laugh, but you know, it is extraordinarily difficult. It's quite easy to get people to take 10, 15 medications 3 times a day. In fact, people will be tremendously obedient in taking those medications daily, but to actually convince somebody that to be active for an hour a day can keep them at home safely and out of a nursing home is a difficult concept to accept. And part of that is because up to the past decade, we really haven't had good evidence as to why. So I myself, very grateful for these two gentlemen who are working here in Victoria, because they are world-renowned in the area of trying to get us this evidence so that we can say, actually, there's real proof for this. So what do we know as of 2012 in terms of successful aging? Is there hope? Well, all of you have probably heard about, on the left there, does wine actually make a difference? I continue to believe absolutely. The problem is... the problem is that there is a limit. And, you know, and there also, it's two glasses, but that is dependent on the size of glass. So one of my very favorite patients actually has 12-ounce wine glasses. He's a very funny guy. So I said, and really, I couldn't take those 12-ounce glasses away from him. How can you when somebody's actually thought of a workaround like that? The non-smoking one is a big one. So I have patients who in their 90s have decided to stop smoking, bless them. Because what they've realized is that, you know, it just doesn't work for them anymore. But if you know of anybody who does smoke, if you can do anything to stop them, in fact, the health benefits of stopping increase as you get older. So what I mean by that is if you can stop smoking at the age of 80, your chance of preventing a stroke over the next couple of years is higher than if you stop smoking at the age of 50. The next little... see if my laser here. So this is fruits and vegetables. It's all about the Mediterranean diet. And what is good about the Mediterranean diet? There's no butter or very little. Now, that's sad. But actually, you can get very used to olive oil is tremendous if you can get used to the taste, which I have now, and it's wonderful in its taste. The idea of fruits and vegetables. Now, the problem is as we get older, we narrow down what we eat. So it's very easy for me as a geriatrician to take a food history because most of my patients are oatmeal in the morning, soup at lunch, and at dinner, a potato, a vegetable, and meat. Very little variability. And a part of that is just habit. We learn how to eat as children. We develop our habits as young adults. And by the time you're at my age, just turning 50, all my habits are completely set. It's difficult for me to change my habits, even when I know that they are very bad for me. So if you want to try and do them, you have to pick goals. And the World Health Authority says that every time you walk into a grocery store, try and pick up a fruit or vegetable that you have never tried before in your life. Now, the reason they say this is that in the area of nutrition, we don't know much about micronutrients. And there are fruits and vegetables that there are micronutrients in them that we don't know much about. So varying your fruit and vegetable intake is a very good way to not only increase your nutrition, but also to possibly achieve new habits. You may find something that you really like. And finally, the one that we're concentrating on tonight is exercise. So Stuart talked a little bit about this. What is the reality here? At the bottom of that slide, 5.1% of all Canadians are actually at the target for activity. Is that a surprise to you? It's a surprise to me that it is that low. I would have thought maybe 15, 20. 4.5% of community-dwelling adults between the ages of 60 and 79 are at target. And what we're talking about there are various numbers that you hear, but I like to pick an hour of activity a day. I'm not talking about an hour in a gym. I'm not talking about an hour a day running. I'm talking about an hour a day simply moving. And this is why. Because over the past 100 years, so in there, just 1990 to 2008, the amount of time that we spend not moving has increased exponentially. So are you surprised by that? No, you're not surprised by it, and neither am I. You think about the amount of time that we spend not moving. Why? Because we're in front of television sets, because we're in front of the computer, which is fascinating as a pastime, but we're not outside moving. We're not really moving in our houses anymore because we have equipment that do all the jobs for us, or we hire somebody to do them. I'm one of the people who drives around the parking lot looking for the parking spot as close to the door as possible. After hearing Stuart a few months ago, I've tried parking far away. It's really painful to do that, I must tell you. It's painful.
Your car won't get down.
My car won't get dinged, that's true. But it's something to think about. And what do we know? That your mortality rate, how well you are all positively associated. So you are more likely to die the more sedentary that you are. I see this in geriatrics all the time. I can tell you that it is night and day between the patients that I see who are active and those who are not. Those who make an attempt to walk every day, so they park, they make their lives difficult. I love that concept, Stuart. I think that's brilliant. They pick prevention moments or define them for themselves. I love that too. I'm stealing both of those. So park far away, walk. Even my patients who are attached to a wall with oxygen tubing, I say, for 1 hour a day, I want you walking around your room that now you are unfortunately tied to because of the amount of oxygen that you're on. And if that means leaving the remote somewhere, so you have to get up out of the chair to go get the remote to change a channel. As long as you're mobile for that hour per day, your chance of remaining well and at home are much higher. So what happens at decline with age in terms of your fitness? Well, from about midlife, your heart decreases about 1% per year in terms of fitness. So that's how well it pumps blood, how fast it beats when you're sitting at rest. What about your loss of muscle mass? Well, about from midlife on, there again, you lose about 1% of your muscle mass per year. The strength is quite a bit more significant, that after midlife, you lose between 2.5% and 4% per year of muscle strength. So it is natural to become weaker as you become older, but it is definitely something that you can change based on activity. And you'll see here by the age of 80, that by the age of 80, a healthy woman is near strength threshold to rise from a chair. Now, how many of out there know about those chairs that when you press a button, they automatically go into a standing position? Now, if you have a mobility disorder, that means that you are no longer able to use those muscles to get out of a chair, then I think those chairs are life-saving. But if you don't have a mobility disorder, such as Parkinson's disease, or something that affects the muscles and it is out of your control, then those chairs do nothing but make it much more quickly that you are going to have to leave your home. Because the number one factor that determines whether you go into a care home or you stay at home is your ability to get in and out of a chair. Your ability to get in and out of a chair equals your ability to get in and out of bed. It equals your ability to get on and off a toilet. And those things, if you can do them, you can stay in your home for your whole life. So what about exercise as medicine? Just to leave some of that talk and bring it right back focused on exercise itself. This idea has been around for a long time. So Hippocrates, walking is man's best medicine. And Plato, lack of activity destroys the good condition of every human being, while movement and methodical physical exercise save it. So these were smart guys. And exercise is medicine. What do we know? We have the data to support that exercise decreases your chance of developing metabolic syndrome, which includes diabetes, high blood pressure, cardiovascular events, so having a heart attack, early dying, early mortality, and arthritis symptoms. People who have severe arthritis, not always, but often, they're individuals who the muscles around that joint are quite weak because of lack of physical activity. So if you can keep your legs strong, your chance of developing severe arthritis symptoms are much less. When your muscles are weak, there is a lot more strain put on that joint, and therefore that joint will wear out faster. What do we know that exercise increases? So this green arrow on the right here, we know that exercise, especially resistance training, so that's some sort of weight involved, doesn't have to be weights in a gym, so resistance training through yoga, through dancing, that you increase your bone density, your mood, and your sleep quality. And we saw good evidence from both presentations before that that is has been definitely shown. And we all know that to be true in ourselves. This is Eve Fletcher, who's an 84-year-old surfer. I guarantee you that if you're not a surfer now, do not try this. Just a little statistic for you, that if you are over the age of 40, just I love whoever is laughing up there because you're really boosting us tonight. Thank you. If you're over the age of 40 and you take up rollerblading, you've never rollerbladed before, and you're over 40, what do you think your chance of having an accident with an injury is? And I can tell by the laughter that you know the answer. Yes, indeed, it is 100%. I don't know what it is for the surfing, but I would imagine that it is equally high. So just some of the evidence, you've heard quite a little bit today. I'm just going to talk in very briefly, you know, modest benefits from exercise in both planning and memory. And so I tell my patients that a lot, but do we really have evidence of what's going on in the brain? Well, we have a few clues now. And one comes from studies of the brain itself. And there is an area of the brain that is called the hippocampus. Can you see this down here? This is an MRI slice of the brain. And if you see here on both sides of this, that little yellow spot, I'm sorry for those in the back, I apologize. But down at the lower portions of the brain is an area of the brain called the hippocampus. Can I just see a show of hands who's heard of a hippocampus before? So, my goodness. And I know you guys know.
I know it does.
And so the hippocampus, we think, is heavily involved in memory. Yes, so it's really the part of the brain that a lot of the studies are focused on. And what we know in that people who partake in exercise, that there is increased size in the hippocampus. So I tell my patients, you know, your hippocampus is going to increase. But what else? Well, we also know mainly from animal models that when they exercise, that there is actually a growth in neurons. So I'm sure you've read, you know, in the literature just over the past couple of years, this idea that the neurons in your brain can actually grow, that you can gain new neurons. I was very happy when I heard that evidence coming out, because didn't we all sort of grow up hearing that, no, sorry, when you turn 20, you know, 16 to 20, that's all the neurons you've got for the rest of your life, you're done. No, I was always very disappointed by that. I thought, whoever designed us, could they not have done better? And so now we know that, in fact, you can make a difference. So in animal models with exercise, there is some evidence that there is growth in synapses. Oh, this is the interesting one to me, blood flow. So blood flow to that area of your brain, the hippocampus, in people who exercise. I like to tie this to blood pressure in many of my patients. So anybody out there who is on blood pressure pills, high blood pressure kills you. low blood pressure doesn't do you very much good either. So please make sure that you are monitoring your blood pressure, and if your blood pressure is going very low for you, talk it over with your family doctor, depending on the other medical problems that you may have. But think about your hippocampus. Think about your brain. Your brain needs to get blood in order to survive. And exercise will increase that blood flow, will increase the blood flow to the hippocampus. Number four, so this is a very interesting one, a study in healthy younger adults who exercise, that there is evidence that they're actually creating neural networks in their brain at a higher rate than people who do not. This also keeps me walking fast. And finally, number five is based on animal studies, but I love these water maze studies of mice, and you know they have to figure their way across a bowl of water, basically in a maze. And I always think of myself, if I was plopped in a pool of water and had to find my way through a maze, I would be in serious trouble. And so I have a lot of really quite love these little mice who are actually able to figure their way across this maze. And exercise mice that exercise do better in a water maze than those who don't. So that's a summary of that little area, and I do need to stop for a time check. I have 2 minutes remaining. So I'm going to talk very quickly here. Oh, did you like that picture? Grandpa's been working out. I quite love that one, too. So I wanted just to show you a little bit about falls. So falls in my line of work are always a devastating event. And I spend a lot of my time trying to prevent them. I promise you that if you do figure out how to make activity a necessary part of your life in order to remain well, that your chance of falling will be greatly decreased. I also want to recommend that you Google this, fall prevention, because make your home safe. Rugs that slide on the floor, you will always fall on them. Obstacles in your way. If you're moving to a new house, please don't buy a house that's multi-level with stairs. Stairs are desperately difficult when mobility starts to decline. So interesting, positive effect in robust individuals, but also in the frail. So my final message to you is that it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter what state you are in. There is so much hope from just increasing activity. So what I hope tonight is that we all consider tonight, what is in the past is past, and when we leave tonight, can we all commit in this room to a new way of life? So you're already very active. Congratulations, please keep on that way. And anybody who knows that perhaps are a bit sedentary and need to get involved with something, let's commit to each other to do that. I'm very bad, by the way, so I'm the first one who needs to commit. I will go through bursts of activity, and then for 2 months will be, you know, fairly sedentary, parking as close as I can to the doors of the grocery store. So, but then I meet with these two guys, and I quickly realize, nope, get back on the wagon. So it's never too late, and does the type matter? Yes. Walking is not enough. So balance training. If you are noticing that your balance is going, please Google balance exercises. These are not onerous. If you are using a walker, you can do balance exercises every day. And they are very simple, and they seem like you're not doing very much, but you are training your brain, and you are training your peripheral receptors. You are training your balance again. So just as your muscles can get strong, your ability to balance yourself can get stronger too. And then one day we'll all come and do the gait right, and we'll come into your studies as well, and we will be proud of what we have achieved. So I think I will stop there because it's questions time. Yeah.